you are, because it is a Mormon Denver for April 11th, 2024. My name is Bernie Burns, sitting right over there. Not bad. Ashley Burns, how you doing, Ash? Doing well?
I'm doing great.
No,
oh my God.
I brought it back just for you. That's got to be a permanent edition now.
You know what, though? I would like that to be a permanent edition because I can't hear that and not smile. I feel like if
it's biased.
I'm very biased, but it makes my day brighter. So thank you. I appreciate you for putting that in there.
You know, as a father, it's just, I love that kid to death and everything. As a director, 7 out of 10. Let's go again from the top. This time, just better, please. Thank you.
This time, could you just, not so bad. I have a bone to pick with you, though, about that kid.
I tried to change subjects.
Because you knew this was coming.
I did my best.
You knew this was coming.
Go ahead. Fire away.
Can you explain to me what is on the kitchen table?
So what is on the table this morning is a marshmallow sandwich. There's a reason. Happy Thursday, everybody.
No, you have to describe this marshmallow sandwich. So it is, it's not just
I think
like,
I've described it perfectly well. I think everyone's vision of a marshmallow sandwich, whatever they're thinking, that's the right thing.
No, your vision, it's not going far enough. This isn't two pieces of bread with some marshmallows in it. This is, it's not bread for one. It's like pink and yellow foam.
Marshmallow.
Like compressed sponge bread.
Well, because a marshmallow on bread would be gross.
With sprinkles down the edges.
Yeah, go ahead.
And inside is this pink and white. For some reason, internationally, marshmallows are pink and white. It's just a thing. This pink and white whipped marshmallow filling in this marshmallow sandwich. This is not a homemade thing. This is something that you bought at a store.
And believe it or not, it's keto. So here's the deal. I bought this for our son because he went out with me to run an errand. So I took him to a... what we would call a convenience store.
Yes.
I don't know what they would call it here.
Corner
like
store.
Corner store,
whatever.
Yeah. We went to a convenience store, and he got to get a treat. And he got two treats because our son is an expert negotiator, except when he's negotiating punishments.
Well, he
negotiates up.
He has a unique philosophy, which is always negotiate up no matter
higher.
What it is. And so if we'll be like, okay, no screens for 2 days, he goes, 14.
It's always 14. He goes 14. Straight to 14.
He always goes straight to 14. And then if you're like, okay, 14, he's like 30.
So this is going to sound worse the more I explain it. It really is. No, it really is. So he's eating the marshmallow sandwich because this is a remedy for letting him watch something I shouldn't have let him watch. I don't know why we were talking about it. And I was thinking, we went and saw Ghostbusters Frozen Empire, right?
We did.
And we were talking about how it's clear they seem to be moving in the direction that the little Stay Puft Marshmallow Men, which were in the last one, this isn't a spoiler, they're in Afterlife as well. The little version of them. It's kind of like they're going for a Minions thing.
Right, like they want their cute little mascot.
Right. They want their, like, you know, nonsense talking little army of mischievous little gremlins.
To speak Ubisoft, they want their rabbits.
They want their rabbits. Yeah, rabbits are very minion. God, you never think about that. Is that rabbits, like, is that, you worked at Ubisoft, is that entirely a Ubisoft video game creation, or did that come from something else?
No, that's entirely creation. It was, there was a specific game where the rabbits popped up, and they just got so popular, Ubisoft leaned in.
Yeah. Yeah, which I feel like that's what they did with Despicable Me as well. The Minions were so popular. They're just like, okay, this is our thing now.
Yeah, now Minions have their own series, right?
Okay, I'm coming back to marshmallow stuff in a second because there's a candy here in Scotland that I love called Squashies. And this is going to sound gross when I explain it, but they're amazing. They're like a combination of a gummy bear and a marshmallow. And you might think you know what I'm talking about, but not quite. And they even, it's almost like a stick of gum that you swallow. All of it sounds terrible. It's amazing.
It's like thick foam.
It's great. And they make a minion flavored one. I don't know what the fuck that's supposed to be.
I think it's blueberry and lemon or something like that. It's a blue and yellow anyway.
So I thought, oh, I'll let Finn see the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man in Ghostbusters, like the little minion version of them. But I was also cheap. And we didn't have that, and I couldn't find it anywhere. But Ghostbusters was on Netflix. So I turned on Ghostbusters and fast-forwarded all the way to the end. to show him the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man.
The giant one?
Yeah.
The scary building tall on fire Stay Puft Marshmallow Man?
See, we're coming back around on this now. Now you're seeing my logic here. So if he eats the marshmallow sandwich, then he knows he won't be scared of Stay Puft Marshmallow Man. And he's not. This morning at breakfast, he was not scared at all of Stay Puft Marshmallow Man.
Wow.
So he's good.
You are having him assert dominance over marshmallows, so he's not afraid of them.
Exactly. You eat your fears. It's a good thing to teaching him, you know?
Hey, Shark, get over here.
We had a lesson. We say, look, if you're ever scared of something like a giant marshmallow man,
just bite it.
Kill it and eat its heart and gain its courage. That's my valuable parenting lesson for the day. Okay. I want to point out, he only had a little bit of it because he hated it.
Good.
Yeah.
Thank God.
But that's why there was some left on the counter. Notice I didn't eat it either, which is a huge triumph for me, right?
That is saying something, yes. I would expect to find just the shreds of an empty box.
But yeah, he didn't like it very much, and it was a double whammy for him because he also got to pick out a bag of crisps and what we call just chips. In the U.S., like potato chips. Here, they're called ready salted. I don't know what that means.
Well, it would be like, you know, they'd just be classic Lay's, right?
But was there a version that came...
salted chips.
Was there a version that came in the past that came with the chips and then the salt on the side? And you had to do it? And this was a huge invention where they had them ready salted. So the ready salted Walkers are a red package. So he picked up a red package of chips, and I didn't think twice about it. We got home. They were ketchup chips.
Ooh.
But I will say this.
Ultimate betrayal.
He passed the test.
Which was?
He hated them.
So he is not Canadian.
He's not Canadian. That's all as right. close to a paternity test as we can get here. Listen, I don't want to offend our former neighbors to the north, but if you can eat ketchup-flavored potato chips, what's wrong in your life? Do you want to talk about it? Like, what happened?
When Barbara was visiting us here... I went to the store and I bought her like a whole pack, like a whole package of the little bags of the tomato chips. And I put them in her bedroom. And I will say this, she's Americanized enough. They didn't get eaten.
Well, she's also like a performer. So maybe she was like, you know, being careful about eating a giant bouquet of potato crisps.
Look, some people like to put flowers in your bedroom. I just put the potato chips.
You know, and it's funny because there's like things that are acquired taste. When I first came here, there's a drink, which from what I understand, Scotland is the only country in the world where Coca-Cola is not the number one beverage. The number one beverage sold in Scotland is a drink called Iron Brew.
Iron Brew. But if you can, try to eliminate as many vowel sounds from that as you can.
Because they do from the label.
Because it's Iron Brew.
So, and it's hard to explain, and I won't try to because I don't want to be run out of the country because this is a beloved drink here. It's orange, and the debate over what the flavor is greatly contested.
Right. Is this... is it like an orange, like a cream soda? Is it like a
burnt orange cream soda?
Yeah, is it like is an orange soda? Is it, what is it?
It's orange-ish with some extra stuff.
The best response I've seen to that so far is, what flavor is Coca-Cola? This is Iron Brew flavor. Fuck off.
That does seem to be a thing with Iron Brew. They want to, well, what flavor is it? It's like, what flavor is anything? It's the flavor that it is. You drink Iron Brew because you want the flavor. Coca-Cola is Coca-Cola flavored, like you said.
Yeah.
You don't drink it and go, what is it? What's the flavor of it?
I do get it to some degree, though, because we always...
I think it's
people,
the color.
People also get to know something or decide if they want to try something based on its context in relation to other things.
I will say this, when I'm away from Scotland now and I can get like a diet Iron Brew somewhere, like in the international section of the grocery store.
Does it tickle you orange?
It's so great. It's I drink it and it's like, oh, and you can see those, like some of those YouTube videos where people try snacks from other countries and stuff. And the Scottish people, when they drink Iron Brew, they're like, oh, they close their eyes and they're like, oh my God. Like it must bring them back to something.
It's got to be hard to like be away from things that you love that much.
You're talking about Coca-Cola.
Yes.
I saw a Reddit, probably it was on Reddit, a photo of where the Coca-Cola recipe is held. Do you know what it looks like?
A vault?
It looks like a Fallout vault, specifically, because it's that Art Deco style.
Well,
looks like a BioShock version of a Fallout vault. But I thought that was funny because today we watched the Fallout episode.
So
we got up early.
Yeah. Fallout is now out on Amazon Prime. This annoyed me a little bit. they announced they were going to release earlier. Like, it's going to be on, we're going to drop all the episodes on April 10th instead. I was so psyched. I was ready to go. And then found out that what they really meant was they're going to release them at 6 p.m. Pacific time.
Can I take a quick aside here for a second?
You may.
We haven't talked about our Patreon today, which we probably should. We're talking about time zones. I discovered something really funny. I discovered that our concept of when Friday ends, because if you sign up for the Patreon for the end of Friday, that makes you eligible for the coin that we're giving as a gift. Shipping may apply. But I found that it's a concept that's actually used where it's called anywhere on Earth. And I'll read this just from the Wikipedia here. This is the Anywhere on Earth Wikipedia entry. Anywhere on Earth, AOE, is a calendar designation that indicates that a period expires when the date passes everywhere on Earth. It is a practice to help specify easy-to-understand deadlines such as March 16th, 2004, end of day, anywhere on Earth, without requiring time zone calculations or daylight savings times adjustments. For any given date, the latest place on Earth where it would be valid is on Howland and Baker Islands in the IDLW time zone, the Western Hemisphere side of the international dateline. Therefore, the date ends anywhere on Earth when it ends on Howland Island. I love that.
That's pretty cool. Do you imagine that the people on the Howland and Baker Islands take the responsibility of putting the day to bed very seriously?
I would think New Year's would be a big deal for them. Like, we always talk about New Zealand gets it first. But there's somebody who's like, they live in like 2023 longer than anybody else. Not longer, but like they get to stick around.
They're there at the end. They're the one putting 2023 to bed. In the ground, depending on how you prefer to look at it.
So after Friday, anywhere on Earth, which will be noon for us on Saturday. So,
ooh, you did the math. Because
it's exact. We're Greenwich Mean Time, or we're right there at the beginning of it all. I think even with daylight savings times. Luckily, actually, I don't have to figure it out because there's the Howland Islands.
The Howland Islands will tell us when the cutoff is.
Yeah. So anywhere on Earth, if you sign up for the Patreon before that, thank you very much. Then you're eligible for the coin.
Speaking of which, I would like to thank today's sponsors, Austin and Stuff and Sean Wilson. Thank you for keeping today's episode of Morning Somewhere ad-free for the rest of our listeners.
Thank you, Mr. Wilson. What was the first one?
It's Austin and Stuff.
Austin and Stuff.
Austin and Stuff.
Is it and stuff?
No relation.
Okay, got it. All right, so let's get on to talking about Fallout. First of all, we're not going to talk about spoilers. We won't talk about anything specifically that happens before, after the first 5 minutes, let's say.
Yeah, we'll just keep it at the beginning.
Tone. Because I think tone is going to be the most important thing.
Fucking nailed it.
You think so?
I love it. I'm going to just go out there. I'm going to admit this. I don't play a lot of Fallout because it's scary. And I'm not great with scary games. Anyone who's seen me try to play one will know that. But
hates zombie stuff in particular.
I hate zombies.
She hates it.
So much. But the overall vibe of Fallout is, one, really fun. Two, really accurate to the games, I feel. And three,
couple of liberties, but they were okay with me. I was okay with them.
Yeah, and three, fantastic looking on the screen.
Yeah. I'll just say at the beginning of it, they open a door that I'm like, what's that door? I've never seen that before. Like, one of the things about the vaults to me in Fallout is that they're all unique and individual and they have like experiments going on. And I think you get a sense of that, but then they take some liberties, which I'm totally fine with, to be clear. I'm totally fine with some of those liberties they took.
I would agree with you.
You know what I'm talking about,
right? I do know what you're talking about.
You do me the stare. You worried I'm going to make spoilers?
No. I do know what you're talking about. I was just thinking through it. Yes, I agree that there's like one or two little things, but I'm totally fine with them so far. And I was watching it. I remember seeing photos, like production photos of some of the sets early on and thinking, wow, that looks like it would be a lot of fun to work on. Do you ever get that where you just look at something and you're like, that was a fun thing for the people making it as well? And that is, honestly, that bizarrely carries a lot of weight with me. Also, the guy from Severance is in it.
Oh, yeah. So I was going to mention that. So it's weird when I see it now, too, because I saw Zach Cherry is who you're talking
about. Yes.
And he was actually the guy from The Drop, the Spider-Man. Do a flip! It's like my favorite moment in the MCU.
We say it to each other all the time. Yeah. We just walk up to each other and be like, do a flip!
Not bad! But
that was him.
Yeah. No, he's the guy who says do a flip. Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, he's got that really distinctive voice.
Yeah. I mean, I recognize him specifically from Severance.
It's a very early role for him. But yeah, he's in Severance as well. I forget the name of the character he plays in Severance. But he's in Fallout. And when I saw him, he's wearing a vault suit and a Pip Boy. And I thought, oh, that would have been so cool. Like, that would have been really cool. That'd be like putting on a stormtrooper outfit. Hold on a second. I've got more to say about that in a second. But that'd be so much fun to be able to do that. Like, and walk into a vault. I mean, it is a set, so you know, like, you have to face a certain direction for it to look good. But it would be really amazing to be in that. Like, yeah. I wonder, too, why don't they just take some of these sets now and just, like, make them tourist attractions? Because people would totally do that.
They kind of did. They did a big Fallout execution at South by Southwest.
That could mean a lot of different things the way you said that.
Yeah, I guess that's true. They did like an experience. It was a Fallout experience.
I gotcha.
At South by Southwest. And it's fun, too, because those sort of underground, vaulty, roomy type sets. I thought this about Silo as well. Seem like...
pretty similar.
They would, they would be kind of a joy to work on. One, because you can make some really cool stuff and be really imaginative. But two, because you can reuse a lot of that shit.
Yeah.
Like, you walk into a different room, bam, same wall, technically, but you make it look different.
And Severance always gave me, this is an Apple show that we love very, very much. Season one was amazing. Looking forward to season two. The sets there reminded me a little bit of that backroom meme that goes around, like Creepypasta, kind of like set that the internet has generated for itself. Was that based on a game?
Potentially Stanley Parable, maybe? I'm not sure, really. I know that there's been a game made about sort of backrooms. I think it's called the game's not called Liminal Spaces, but the philosophy is Liminal Spaces. It's like spaces that divide other spaces.
Oh,
like spaces
I gotcha.
That don't necessarily have a purpose in and of themselves, but they connect spaces that do.
Okay, that makes sense. Yeah, that's interesting. It's based on our previous conversation we had earlier. That's an interesting concept. I have to say, there was some stuff I said when I saw the trailer for Fallout or the sneak peek or whatever they did that I had concerns. I don't have those concerns anymore. Like the Brotherhood of Steel, there were some movements and things that, because they do appear in it. They were in the trailers. They look fine to me. They really do. I mean, you know, they look different than my imagination a little bit, but they're totally fine. Everything is totally passable, which I think is great. For me, I'm super excited for people who never played the Fallout games to then go into that world and experience that aesthetic and tone. And it seems like they got both of those things right. So I'm excited about the series.
Yeah. So we're going to keep watching it. I hope the story goes well. But so far, really pleased.
It's such a cool aesthetic. It's like it's like so distinct when you see it, you know what it is. And there's so few things left in the world that are that way. Like when I see, you used to have a word for it, what it was called.
I'm not sure.
Like future or...
Oh gosh, there is a name for it.
Diesel,
I think that would
retro
be,
or something
I think
like
that.
That
one is probably more Adam Punk than anything.
Uh-huh.
But then it also gets into sort of dystopian. It has like a lot of dystopian flavors as
well. Yeah. It's like the early world that survived. Anyway, you know it. You know the Fallout aesthetic, and I think they got it just right. And I'm excited for other people to see it. I really am.
Yes.
And if you're a big fan of it, there's like little stuff all the way through it
that shows that they know what they're
like,
working with.
They went pretty deep with some stuff, even to stuff like collectibles and Easter eggs from the game. Those make an appearance in the first episode. So they are saying like they're making a nod to everyone who's played the games, but it's not in your face. You know what I mean? You would not have to know what those things are to enjoy the series in any way whatsoever.
Right. It's just a nice little bonus for those who know those details. Now, one thing that we can't leave today without talking about.
Were you talking about stormtroopers?
Yeah, you're talking about stormtroopers.
This is Ashley's favorite story of the day.
It's happened in Scotland, so it's like, you know, very close to home, and it's just very fun. But there was a Scottish stormtrooper who caused a train to be returned to the station and was met by police over there was reports that he had a gun. It was a plastic prop gun, and he was on his way to a convention. But there's these poor people, like poor normal people on this train, saw a stormtrooper, and it's not just a stormtrooper. Stormtrooper in a kilt, get on the train with his, you know, blaster rifle, whatever. And they're like, and they're going, what in God's name is happening? And
how so can they you not know it's a stormtrooper?
I know. So they reported it, and the the police came, and they were like, yeah. So they took him to, like, get a bag for us. We didn't scare people, but the most amazing. Can you imagine though, like just being, you know, you just going to work on the train, the stormtrooper in a kilt joins you. You have no idea what's going on.
Well, I
just
worked at Rooster Teeth for 17 years, so yeah, I can absolutely, envision that. I have been to so many cons and so many different times where it's like you just kind of forget stuff after a while. Like you're just sitting there talking to someone who's dressed as like the tank from Left 4 Dead, this giant monstrosity. You're just having a normal conversation with them.
Yeah, where should we go get dinner?
kind of miss that world. I haven't been to a con in a long time. I think I want to make my way back to one.
It's been a while, but their cons are always a really good time. But yeah, it's an interesting thing in Scotland in particular. We see these stormtroopers in kilts all the time.
Yeah.
At like the Highland Games, which is like a sort of like summer, how would you describe it? Like county fair would be the sort of US equivalent, but each town takes a turn hosting their Highland Games, and they've got like...
We love the Highland Games.
They're amazing. They have like rock throwing contest.
Dude, now that we're talking about Fallout, and like the early 50s, like Adam Punk aesthetic you were talking about, this is going to sound really weird to say this. When I go to the Highland Games, which are a collection of like what you think, like the caber toss, where they toss like the telephone pole and all that stuff, and the guys throw the big rocks.
There's Highland dancing, and there's like, you know, there's, they do a tug of war.
Right. It's the most, I was going to say, it's honestly that experience of going to those and they tour around, or the different towns have them at different times. It feels like one of the most all American things I've ever done, and it's not in America. They have like foot races and tug of war and three-legged races and stuff like they have poles with the big bullhorn speakers on them facing every direction with the guy announcing stuff that's happening. It's like,
and you can't understand anything that they're saying.
Yeah, of course, because they're on a speaker and they're speaking a Scottish accent. So we're like, I don't understand this, but I love it. And there's a county fair and a Ferris wheel and all this stuff. And it's just like, it's so weird because it's like the most like stereotypical like American like suburban 50s thing I ever did, and I'm doing it in Scotland and I love it, and I don't want to insult the heritage. It's not an American thing. It's just what, you know, Americans think they were doing in the 50s. It's like this really wholesome thing. We love it.
Right. It's so much
and
fun.
Then gigantic men come and throw a tree. There's literally one event where these huge guys, they will stand underneath a bar. Like, imagine standing under, like, the bar that a pole vaulter goes over.
Like a high jump or something.
Yeah. They stand under that bar, and it's, like, 12 feet over their head. And then they take a gigantic kettlebell and throw it up over their own head, over the bar, and while they're standing underneath it. So they're trying to see how high they can throw this kettlebell thing. And it's just like, yeah, this is going to go wrong in so many different ways.
The qualifying rounds are devastating.
Yeah, they're really, yeah, they get dragged out of there. And then the cops have to come and arrest all the stormtroopers. All right, well, that does it for us today, April 11th, 2024. Want to say thank you to everyone who has been supporting us on Patreon at patreon.com/morningsomewhere. What is that, Ashley?
It's patreon.com/morningsomewhere. Oh, and we've got the first Q&A. Getting ready to go. So we've made a post on Patreon taking questions. We obviously can't answer them all, but theoretically, given enough time, we'll be able to answer every question that ever has existed, that exists, or will exist. So we'll see how far down that list.
Where can they go to submit a question?
At patreon.com/morningsomewhere.
Okay. And then, or you can go to send an email to questions@morningsomewhere.com. That also works. All right. Well, that does it for us. We will be back to talk to you tomorrow. We hope you'll be here as well.
Bye, everybody.